Let's just begin with a word of prayer. So, Father Almighty, it is a blessing to be here today. It's a blessing to be able to share your word, and it's a blessing for the Holy Spirit to just kind of like be energized within us. And as your word is being spoken, that our hearts are open to receive that which you have, and the Holy Spirit gifts us with knowledge, with wisdom, and it's only through him that we actually receive anything. So we just thank you for our time together, and just pray that the message that we have today touches the hearts of those that are here. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So we are continuing on our theme of God's Word. There we go. And it's the Word of God is truthful. And this is really what we're going to be looking at. And again, the emphasis is, what does that mean for us? And we really need to know that aspect of it, because again, we can have head knowledge of it, but until it becomes part of us, it's not really going to do much for us. So already, I've made a list of the ones that we've had so far in the past. The Word of God is eternal, it's necessary, attainable, it gives life, it's powerful, useful, and last week was, it blesses. I was looking through my list of the ones that I've got future, so I've got at least 8, if not 10 more to go yet. It's just really good to see that, you know, we read Scripture, and we understand that it is, you know, the Word of God, but how does it really touch us? And so there's just multiple ways that we're looking at that. This one here is that the Word of God is truthful. Remember how I couldn't find last week's sheet? That's what came up just now. I've got last week's this week. But I do have this one right there. There we go. All right, the Word of God is truthful. And that's really what I want to be looking at. Just a quick story. I've been working up in Malone with Jerry Tucker, and we're installing a solar system. It's a really big system, and so it's been actually a lot of fun this whole week doing that. And the woman that we're doing it for, her name is Sylvia, and she is a blessing. I have never ever witnessed anyone like this woman before. Very giving. She reminds me of Pat and Tom, because she has a child that has a special needs child, and her sister has dementia, and she's taking care of both of them in this house. She has a full-time job, trust me, and she gets a little bit of reprieve, which is nice. But there's 4 of us, 2 rooms in this motel. She went out and bought us a special blanket, 2 pillows each, a big, what do they call it, just a drying towel for us when they take the shower, the washcloth, 3 different types of soap if we didn't like one or the other, sanitizers. It's crazy. And she brought food like you would not believe. And she's yet paying us, you know, obviously to install the solar system. But she is a very godly person. We've had a lot of conversations already. And there's a certain connection to us. And let me tell you, one of those connections is that we were working down, she was up on the, coming outside the door, and we're working in the garage. And she was asking about lunch. And I said, oh, I think we're pretty good for lunch, because we have a cooler with all the food that she put in there. And she asked, you know, other people, you know, the other guys that were there, and they're all like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She says, no, I'm asking Mike, because he's the one that won't lie to me. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know. It's like, so we took her down there, showed her what we had, and I said, you know, the only thing we're short is like lettuce. And I said, it's no big deal. I said, you know, we got plenty of peanut butter and sandwich meat and bread and all that stuff. So she said, okay. So she went out and got lettuce, but she also got 2 other types of meat, 3 other types of cheeses, some pickles. And it's like, this woman is just unbelievable. I have never, ever witnessed anybody that is just that giving. And that sharing, and just a good heart all the way through, neat conversations. And it was so cool to be able to do that, because, you know, I sense in that whole aspect that she trusts us, you know. And it's not just the trust that she has in us. I think it's that the trust that she has in God, that she can trust us. And again, it's a reciprocal thing too, which is really cool to be able to do that. So this message, I think, is really neat in the essence of her and the mothering job that she has with her daughter, which I think is like 38 now. And she has probably the mind of about a 10, 11-year-old girl. And her daughter has been brought up to trust people, but she's very particular about, you know, the influence that the other people have around her. And so it's really neat how she's very good about that. We're going to go into some scripture, and we're going to look at this about truthfulness in scripture and God's part and our part that goes along with it. As we get into, I'm going to start in the very beginning, like in Genesis, because a lot of people see this Genesis part as being, the Garden of Eden and all that. And it's kind of a neat story, but then it's a sad story too, because Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden, right? We're going to look a little bit about that and what kind of caused that, I guess. So in Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Now the Lord had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now, then God says, you know, you can eat of every tree that's in the garden, right? But do not eat of this one particular tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And of course, you know, of all the trees that are out there, and I'm sure it's a big garden, Adam and Eve decided to eat from that tree. And if we jump to chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says, "And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and also take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken." Now, we look at this, and we see that tree that has been mentioned as the tree of good and evil, and that's the one that Adam and Eve ate from. That we have the knowledge of what is good, what is evil. What brings life, what brings death. We have the knowledge in our mind of what is truth and what is lie. I'm telling you right now, there is no excuse for it out of any of us to not know the difference between right and wrong. Yes, because of that, we have this innate sin that's within us that seems to pull us. And like my sister, I won't mention her online because it's like that, she might hear this sometime down the road, is that we have an option to be able to be truthful or to lie to one another. And it's really important that we maintain that relationship, that close relationship with God, because it's important to us to have a good relationship with God. If you want to be in a home, and I'm talking about wherever you are, in a place where we're alive, and have a right relationship with God. Because if you try lying to other people and think you're honest to God, you're honestly lying to God at the same time. You know, and God knows our hearts and where we stand and all of that stuff there. So it's important to understand that we honestly know the difference between good and evil. And we choose sometimes to do the not so good part. So when we go to a court of law and we are going to be a witness, right? You're going to stand up there, and a lot of times you put one hand on the Bible, the other hand you're raising up as a sign that you're being sworn in. And this is what's said to you. "Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?" And you say, "I do." Or you say, "Yes." And the idea is that you are up in a court of law, and you are bound not only by law, but by your oath that you will tell the truth. And if you lie, while you're on that stand, you are what's the term? Perjury, right? Yeah, you're lying to the court, and there's a lot of consequences that go along with that sort of thing. So we sense this, and we can see the solemnness, you know, the court with the judge and all the lawyers and everything, and it's pretty scary that you're up there, and it's like, I better tell the truth, because if I don't, they're going to know it, for somehow that judge knows whether I'm telling the truth, whether he knows me or not. But the thing is, I have given my oath that I am going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that means that I am not omitting, because we can lie by omission, which means we just don't tell the whole truth. Yeah, I walked down the street. Mom, that's where I was. I was just down the street. Well, you did walk down the street, but there are 6 houses that you went to and multiple other houses that you went to and streets and all that stuff. And yeah, we get that sort of thing. And we realize that it's really important to know that we are expected, especially at certain points, to not lie, to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help you God. We get into Romans, and Paul is speaking here about lifestyles that people choose. And in Romans chapter 1, 25, it says, they exchanged, these are just people that are living a sinful life, they have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. And this is really what's happened in our society today, is that we have taken God out of the picture. We try to remove Him because we know ultimately that He knows what we're doing. But if we bury our head in the sand like an ostrich might do, nobody can see me. If I live in darkness, nobody can see the things that I'm doing. And we tend to think even God can't see those sort of things. If we just plan on being ignorant and just saying, well, this is how I feel, this is how what I want to be, we know, I'm going to say it again, we know we are just living a lie. But sometimes we try to convince ourselves. We try to convince others. And some of us have the ability to be able to persuade others to think that it's a right thing to do. God help those people. Being truthful is very, very important in terms of where we've got it. God says that He was willing to let these people go, because God has granted us that free will. And He's like, go ahead, try that. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask you, how's it working for you? And you can lie and you can say, oh, it's great, so much better than serving you. And then when the fall comes, where do you go? Back to God. Because you know He is the only one that can protect you. You've burnt all of your bridges. You're left with nothing. You're in this realm of poverty, and that poverty could be financial. It could be poverty in terms of no friends. It could be poverty and no job. It could be poverty and no freedom, that you actually become a slave to whatever. And it's really crazy because we choose to live a lie versus living for God. Again, He's our Creator. We're going to be looking at some of all this aspect over here. But the idea is that there's so much out there in this world that can pull us away from God, that we have to be, we have to have discerning hearts and discerning minds to protect ourselves from what the world is trying to say versus what God is trying to say to us. You know, and so we get in Scripture, and we have these things, and multiple times that I have this quote that comes in that Jesus says, "I tell you the truth." And in fact, we're going to look at this, and we're going to see that in Matthew, He says it 30 times. 13 times in Mark, 9 in Luke, and 26 times in John. I tell you the truth. Why would Jesus have to say those words? It's almost like he's on the stand. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. This is what I'm about to say. I tell you the truth. Now, it would be interesting to go through all of those truths that he gave. I'm going to give you, I think, like 5 examples of what those are. And just in reference to those sort of things, is that it takes a mirage of things. So most of those are going to be in Matthew and one in Luke. But if we look at those, I tell you the truth. This one here in Matthew 24, 1 through 2 says, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. All right? So we're talking about looking at the temple, this big building where Jews congregate to worship God. And it's huge, right? It was the original size, and King Herod actually increased the size of it. And the monstrosity of it was phenomenal, so that when visitors would come, they would stand there in awe of this building and how great and the structures that was there, right? Something that it's made out of probably marble stone, all perfectly cut stone. There's nothing that can take that down. And then Jesus says these things to him. Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And you're going to think, no. Not this building. This is the temple that's been around forever. Generation after generation after generation. And it's going to continue that way, generation after generation, because of the solidness of it, because of the size of it, and for what it stands for. Well, guess what happens 70 years later? Not one stone on top of it. Did Jesus tell the truth? That when he says, I tell you the truth, it literally is the truth. We may not understand it or understand how it can get to that point, but it's really true. So we look at these physical things around us, and these things will fall apart. This world will fall and actually be destroyed. Matthew 19, 28 through 29, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit the eternal life. Now again, Jesus says these very things right after he says, I tell you the truth. I swear to God, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that as you, as a believer in Christ, you will have a place in eternal life with me. Now, is Jesus one to lie? And say, oh, just joking. All I wanted was your signature on this little form, and you know, I got that signature, and that's all I needed to have. No, it's like he tells the truth, and he means that. We can take this to the bank. And it's really neat to realize that when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, right? We will inherit eternal life as he, you know, with him. In Matthew 25, 40, the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Jesus is telling a parable here at this time. And he's talking about this king. He's got servants. There's sheep, basically separating the sheep and the goats. Those that serve the people as if those people are Christ go to visit people in prison, right? Take off your cloak and give it to someone. Supply some food for somebody. Give them some hospitality. That when you do it for the least of these, you are doing it for me. Right? And that's really what it's saying over here, that that when you do something for an individual in my name, you are doing it for me. And there's a counter one just after this, that when you do not do it for the least of these, then you're not doing it for me. Again, I tell you the truth. So you think of all those people that you come in contact with, and we get to decide, do we serve this person, or do we serve this person, or do we have the heart of God where we serve all people the way Christ would serve? But you know, sometimes you differentiate it. You don't deserve that. Because you're smart enough, you could make your own way. You've made some choices in life that I don't agree with, so I'm done with you. Can you imagine God saying that? And then we would all be like, oh, there's no point in coming to church then, because it's like, oh, we've all disappointed them in every way. Let's look at this other one over here in Matthew 26, 20 through 21. It says, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. And you know the whole story. They go back looking at each other. Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? We just had that rendition of, you know, the children doing their living Last Supper. Every one of them didn't know if it was them. But it was Judas. Right? And Judas had a heart not so much for God, but for power and having control, especially like with money and stuff like that. And the idea is like, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. That was a pretty harsh words. But there's so much more in there. You know, Peter was told, I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Christ said, I tell you the truth. He meant that. But the thing is, even if he didn't say, I tell you the truth, every word that he has is truthful. Every word that he has. We'll be looking at why. And this one here, in Luke 23:43, where Jesus is being crucified, one criminal on one side, one criminal on the other side. One's rejecting God, the other one is actually accepting Jesus for who he is. And one of the criminals said, Lord, remember me when you were brought into glory. He said, Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. How do you think that meant that criminal felt after those words? I've lived a life that I deserve to be on this cross, being crucified, admitting his guilt, his sin. But recognizing who Jesus Christ is, and Jesus saying, today you will be with me in paradise. Wow. And Jesus had to say to him, I tell you the truth, because the world says something else. Anyone hung on a tree is cursed. Well, they are. But God's salvation is greater than that curse. And that's really, really important. That's what he's saying here today as we get through this part, which is really kind of neat. And then we look at this one here, about the word and what it does to us. In John 17:17, it says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. All right? To be that sanctified, it means kind of like two things. One is to be set apart. That means that you're set apart from the rest of the world. You're not like everyone else. Because as a believer, you are a child of God. And there's expectations even within that realm of being a child of God. You are not to live like everyone else lives, like the non-believers. Because remember, they believe the lie. What we need to do is believe the truth. And it says here that the word is truth. Well, what is the word? It's what's up on the screen. It's what we have right here. Our Bibles. If we're not reading our Bibles, then how do we know what the truth is? Well, I'll just come to church and I'll listen to Pastor Mike talk, then I'll know what the truth is. No, don't count on me. Please. I'm just like you. What God wants is for you to have a relationship with Him. Don't have, I mean, you have a relationship with me, but don't count on the relationship with me as salvation. That's your relationship with God. And you need that relationship with God. And I'm just doing a part in our service and in your walk and taking some of the words of God and just displaying that to you. That's all I'm doing. So that your mind can be open and your heart can be opened. And you're more willing to understand that when Jesus speaks, that He does speak the truth. And that we can trust His Word. Because it does sanctify us. And that sanctification is that process that we have that makes us closer and closer to us in our walk with Him. But we can't do that if we're not separate from the world. It doesn't mean we're going to deny, you know, can't go to a grocery store anymore because there's people in there, you know, non-believers. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is your walk, what you choose to do, needs to honor God in all the things. Because if He's truthful to us about who He is and what He wants from us, then we should be truthful to Him about what we are doing. Now, if you're angry with God, speak to Him, right? Don't pretend to be nice and everything with God, but if you're angry, that's okay. It's like God knows your feelings and stuff like that. He will answer you, He'll talk to you and all that. But the idea, He puts us in this area where we're at, that your word is truth. It's so much so that in Hebrews 6:18, this is just part of the verse that I have in there. You can look at it some more, but I just want to emphasize on this one part. It is impossible for God to lie. I personally like that verse. Because I will never, ever be lied to by God. Now, He's going to say some things to me that I may not like, only because He's directing me in His path. And there's always my resistance that I would like my things to be in there. And that's a hard way to go. You know, it's like, eventually, the longer you walk with God, and as that sanctification becomes greater, it's easier to trust God. You know why? Because you've learned to trust Him. Start with this, and then I'll move on to this, and I'll move on to something else. And you're going to find that God never, ever forsakes you nor leaves you. Never. We are the ones that walk away. And it's really important to know that if it's impossible for God to lie, then this whole Scripture stuff must be true. So that when you read it, stop reading it to try to find errors in the Bible. Stop reading it so that you can see what somebody else is doing wrong. Read it to increase that relationship that you have with God. Find out who He is through His Word. Find out what He's telling me through His Word. Because His Word is truthful. There's never a lie in it. Not one. Have you ever met somebody like that other than God? I haven't. But we do know God, and we know that He can never lie. Just think about that. If God ever lied, everything that He spoke about, right? The world came into creation based upon just the spoken word. God said, let there be, right? Fish, let there be plants, let there be man, let there be all these things. That was spoken. But if that's a lie, then they no longer exist. And it just can't happen. So this is an important scripture verse that we've got. Then Jesus says this here too in John 14:6-7. Speaking to the disciples and they're, He's talking about eventually He's going to need to go back to the Father. And the disciples are unsure. But Jesus answered and He says, I am the way and the truth. And the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. How do they know that they've seen God? because Jesus is God. Jesus only does what the Father tells him to do. And so if you believe Jesus and what he says, then you see that belief in God the Father, as you see it in God the Holy Spirit as well. And all three of those work together in some way we call the Trinity, which is, again, for me, it's really high. I understand that they're all one, but yet they're separate, but they're not. And it's like, yeah, whatever. I trust the Scripture that says that if I want to get to the Father, I need to go through Jesus. That's the only way. It says here, I am the way. It does not say, I am a way. We in this world like to make our own paths, to think that we're going to come to the same final destination as what God is saying here. And it's like, we don't, we can't do that. There is only one way to get to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. He says that. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you live that? Is that part of who you are? Because if Jesus says it, he cannot lie. It's got to be true. And that means then that we need to respond accordingly. Yes, we still have others around here that can encourage us and to ask others questions and, oh, this is what I believe, this is what I feel. But let's go to Scripture and see what Scripture says. Because Scripture is going to be truthful. And again, it keeps going back. You know, why do we have 16 different verses every Sunday that we've got up there? Well, it's because it keeps us on track. Right? That's what we're supposed to be looking at as we go down through here. We'll move on. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. This is the Apostle John speaking to believers. You know the truth. And we stand before the court of law. I've said this before with my tax thing, is that ignorance is not an excuse. That bonded with me back when I was like 18 and I didn't pay my taxes quarterly or something like that. And I had to pay a fine. I was really ticked. The guy said to me, there's no excuse for you. And ignorance isn't even an excuse. Right? And it's just that it has stuck with me forever in my whole life. We think we can just talk our way out of stuff. No. We need to do what we're supposed to do. Pay our due diligence, for our taxes to the government that we have, because we're bound as a U.S. citizen to do those things. Be truthful on our tax forms. Be truthful on all the things we have. Because when we're truthful on that, then we're truthful to God. But when we don't pay somebody for the work that they do, well, how does that reflect? Right? If we lie on an application about something, how does that reflect? That when we tell somebody one thing and yet we've actually done something else, how does that reflect on the relationship that we have? And we've got this sort of thing here where John is saying is that you know the truth. There is no excuse for you. Do what the truth says. And you'll find that there'll be rewards for that sort of thing, to be able to come along with it. In Romans 15:13, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is my last verse. And remember, I always say, it's like, you know, the Word of God is truthful. Well, what does that mean to us, right? This verse here kind of sums it up. It says, may the God of hope the one that you can trust, fill you with all that He has so that you know Him intimately and you know His will so that you can carry out those things that He's asking you to do. That as you trust Him more and more, look at this, that our spirit overflows with His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, inside of us. But I will tell you that if you decide in this life to live the lie the way Paul was speaking in Romans chapter 1, you can do that. But you will not have all the joy, all the peace, and all the trust that you can have as one living for Christ in all ways. Because when you do, there's an essence about you that just overflows. I go back to Sylvia, and I'm thinking in the aspect of how her spirit overflowed into us four guys that were there. And you know, one of the guys just kept saying, you know, I'm just not used to that. That's just not right. And someone else said, what do we do? You know, she's giving us all these things. Do we give this stuff back to her at the end of the, you know, when we're gone, we're done with the project? You know, my response is to them is like, no, it's a gift from her. Accept it. But just think about the spirit that's within her. Where does that come from? That comes from God. So it's really neat to be able to see the overflowing of that spirit through Sylvia and us, and it makes the whole working condition completely different. You have that same potential to do that with the people around you. She doesn't know us from anybody, and yet she showed that love and the blessing, the giving, regardless of our past, regardless of who we actually are today. Incredible. You see, that's what it means to us. That when God is showering us with blessings, why are we not sharing those blessings with others? Why are we not sharing the Word of God with others? Why are we not allowing that truth to reside in us and help us make every decision that we have in life? I tell you, the Word of God is truthful, and you can bank on that. Because God can never lie. Amen? Lord, we just thank You for Your Word here today. We just thank You that we are reminded about how good You are. And in this case, we're looking at the goodness of the truth in every word that You speak. Many times we don't understand it completely, and I know God will open our minds and show us and reveal things to us as we grow in You. But in the meantime, Lord, we trust. We have this word called faith. That I put my faith in You, and that is trusting in You even when I don't fully understand. But I know that what You have for me is good. You see, I know the difference between good and evil because it's in my nature. And I know that God is good. It's just sad that sometimes I do choose evil, as we all do. But as we walk and we grow, we know that our relationship with You, Lord, is just so important and so blessing that we have a joy in us that just doesn't seem to come from this world, but it comes from You. We have a peace. And as we hold on to those things, we can trust You all the more. And the Holy Spirit can move through us in even greater ways. Jesus once said that we will be able to do greater things than what He has done. I don't even understand that. What I do understand is the Spirit that was in Jesus is the same Spirit that's in me today, as it's the same Spirit that's in you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody gets to the Father except through Him. Father, we thank You for this word. Amen.